Om Shanti. So welcome everybody, and thank you Jyantiben for being with us this evening. And Jyantiben has accepted an invitation that we made the other day, so I'll give you a little bit of background information to this evening's question and answer session with her. So on Friday, this past Friday, the 1st of May, she was reading the Murali in the English class. And Baba gave a very interesting blessing. He said, "May you be an intense effort maker who applies a full stop and doesn't think about the past." And then Baba also said, then there was a paragraph also, which was very interesting, and I have it here, but also Baba said not to bring the past into your thoughts, is to make intense effort. And that seemed like a very interesting line and definition that Baba gave of making intense effort. So what I remember is that somebody made a comment, this was right at the end before we were coming here to join the Hindi class for meditation, for the half hour meditation, and they said something to do with suppressing thoughts. So then we didn't have time to go more into that, so then we requested gentlemen to come this evening. No, not this evening, to do a class, and then this was arranged. So so first of all, I'd like to ask gentlemen, what is the significance of forgetting the past? What does it mean to forget the past? Why is it that Baba keeps saying forget the past? I mean, we all know, but it's nice to hear it again. And what do the words past is past mean? So it's both connected.
Om Shanti. Well, firstly, I was very curious that Baba should give such a clear, and in terms of words, a simple definition of intense effort. Because when Baba said double foreigners are double intense effort makers and so on, we must have had many, many classes taking up the subject of what is intense effort. And at different times we've shared different things. And here was Baba saying, just simply let the past be the past, and that is intense effort. And in such a short sentence, there's of course a lot merged in that. My memories, my feelings, my thoughts, to let all that be the past so that it doesn't interfere. I see that there are two types of past, memories or feelings, and one is where I've taken sorrow from a particular situation or a particular individual. And today, as that comes back into my consciousness, something triggers it. I see that person or a similar situation comes, and again, those feelings come flooding back. Nothing's happened now, but the memory of the past is so strong that it brings those feelings with it. And so feelings or memories connected with the past that bring me sorrow, they're not useful. Because the whole purpose of Gyan is to create a different state of being within myself and go back to my original state of being, which is the truth, the living being, blissful. And if there's a feeling and memory that's taking me away from that, it's not helpful, it's not useful. But also, I've seen that in bhakti they say that when you're unhappy, you remember God. But in Gyan, try and focus on God when you're unhappy, and it's difficult. The mind will not stay stable because that scene, that memory will keep emerging again and again. You're not having yoga with God, you're having yoga with that human being, whoever has been the cause of sorrow at that time. So these two reasons, that A, it's taking me away from my own natural state of being, but B, it's interfering in my relationship with God. So I have to find a way to finish the memories of the past that are painful. But the other memories, the memories of Baba's love, of Madhuban, of the dadis, of beautiful things, childhood that was inspirational, whatever it may be, if I hold those memories, and the more I emerge them in my awareness, the more helpful they are for me today. I'll give you an example. Some people say to Dadi that out of all the dadis, she's the one who shares a lot of stories of Brahma Baba. And in terms of physical time, the period in Karachi, they were with Baba just for a while in between. They weren't living with Baba. Baba was in a very different building. They were separate. They lived with Mama, but they didn't live with Baba. And yet, the memories that she has of Karachi and Baba, and then in Abu for a year or so, they all lived together. So there, even though there was physical hardship, yet the memories are so beautiful because they spent that time literally with Baba and Mama. And then after that, they went on service. And they would come back to Abu from time to time. They wouldn't spend months and months, except that one time when she spent 40 days settling the account of the past, as she says. So my point is that it's only sporadic times that she had with Brahma Baba, but her classes, every single class, will carry some story of Baba, because she's emerged those memories in her mind so frequently. And today when she'll speak about something that happened in 1937, that scene will come alive for all of us. It's so clear for her, and she's communicating that with that love and enthusiasm and that beauty. And so she's held it in herself, and that's what's enabled her to come closer and closer to Baba. And so two types of memories, one that's helpful and useful, and the other that's not very useful. And so when Baba's saying past is past, full stop, we're dealing with that. What are the memories of pain and sorrow that I carry that I have to settle here and now? Otherwise that baggage will keep interfering and will not allow me to take what Baba's giving me today.
So when those memories emerge, what do we have to do to change them?
It needs work beforehand. And so I come to Baba, and here's Baba telling me, finish the past. And so even before that memory emerges, I have to systematically, or maybe not so systematically, but whatever are the strongest ones, start dealing with them. And then the other little ones also have to start finishing them. And when there's a very strong memory that's come back, and it isn't necessarily the most recent thing that's happened, but it's maybe the most traumatic thing that's happened. Now this is where the discussion became interesting. Am I just suppressing it and I'm saying past is past, but I'm really carrying that sorrow still within myself, and it's either just in words or just in thoughts in my mind, past is past, but I haven't dealt with it. So I have to find a way of dealing with that. And different situations come, but say for example, if it's a relationship story, and most times it is. Sometimes it's health issues, sometimes it's financial issues, but most times it's relationship issues. And that happens in the Brahmin family as well as pre-gyan. And I'm not sure which is worse. But let's deal with the pre-gyan first. There was some trauma that I experienced, some sorrow and pain that I felt. And I've made myself busy. Usually we occupy ourselves with something else, and so that goes to the background. Or they say that time heals, and it does, in the sense that as time goes by, there are other memories that have taken form, and I'm not thinking about that past thing so much anymore. but it's still there. And so I come to Baba, and Baba tells me, finish it, in a very conscious way, to emerge it, and then to see, well, what happened after that incident or that situation. And probably I'll find that between that situation and where I am now, all the things that happened within that timeline actually were preparing me to come to Baba. Very often that's the case. And tracing it back in this way, I can start changing my feelings towards that situation. If it hadn't been for that, it would have taken me a lot longer to come to Baba, maybe. And so benefit in that scene of drama, that because of that, everything that happened afterwards was able to bring me to Baba. So then it's not painful anymore. I'm seeing meaning, significance and purpose, and so I'm content. I think that when you don't make sense of it and it's meaningless, why did it happen? It shouldn't have happened like that. That causes that frustration and anger within the self. But it makes sense. Okay, this is what it was about. And also maybe sometimes I can see that that particular situation erupted because of other things that led up to it. And so I wasn't non-guilty. I won't call myself guilty even, but it isn't that I can absolve myself of that and say it had nothing to do with me, because within the things that led up to that trauma, I participated in those situations too. And so it's not that it's their fault. I was party to that, and things led up to that finally. But now I understand. And this morning I was remembering the statement from yesterday's Murli. Raz, Razi, Naraz. So Raz, the significance of something. And then Razi, content. And then Naraz, upset, displeased. And so I'm upset because I haven't understood the significance. That's what Baba was telling us yesterday. If you understand something with knowledge, then you can stay content. Nothing can upset you. And so this is the way of dealing with the things of the past. In terms of Gyan, and usually where there's been some sort of interaction with somebody that's been painful, again, I can probably say my sanskars also had something to do with it. It wasn't just the other, but my sanskars too interacted within that situation. It was a big ingredient in that. And so not blaming or complaining then. And again, understanding my part within that, and I can be calmer, more quiet, and I don't react. And the other thing, of course, with Gyan is that you know that today I've changed. And I know that the other person also has probably changed. And so where you see a person and instantly that memory comes up, it's changed now, because I know I've been through much and I've come out the other side, and the other individual also. So it isn't the same reaction to that one. So it's a question of using Gyan and processing it. And then sometimes there's situations where Gyan doesn't seem to work. You've been trying to make sense of it and everything, but it's not working. And I found that in that case then, it's just Baba's love. Just take a lot of love from Baba and let Baba heal the soul. And in that healing then, again the sorrow is gone, and so you can move on.
I have that in mind, a couple of examples, and some of them are from past memories that trigger a certain reaction today, or may trigger a reaction today, and they often refer to traumas or things that we learned as we grew up. So for instance, one example is somebody who perhaps grew up and the relatives or someone close to them were constantly blaming them, putting blame on them. So then they grew up, and even today that continues. So in childhood they learn to feel bad about themselves, and today they're still blamed, I may say unfairly, but I'm not sure that that would be right, but they still may feel depressed or sad, or accepting that sorrow and not being able to know what to do. So that's something that someone else is causing. But on the other hand, it may be something that I experience, and maybe they're not expressing it, they're just feeling it inside and experiencing the sorrow and not knowing how to come out of that. But it can also be the other case where, as I grew up, for instance, somebody was constantly criticizing me, and then I may still react every time that I see any sign of criticism. It may not be there, but in my perception I may see that. And so in that case, my reaction is with the involvement of other people, where I'm causing sorrow to others as well. So I'm not just taking sorrow for myself, although in causing sorrow to others I also realize that, yes, I also feel that, I realize I have this which I need to resolve. And so what happens? I just try to understand in both situations.
One of the things that Baba teaches us right from the moment we come to Baba is the awareness of who I am, and the more I practice this awareness, my own value for myself begins to build up. And I know that the big, big issue of today's world is lack of self-esteem, and it's universal, it really is, and then it manifests in so many different ways all the time. And so when I practice that awareness of who I truly am, and I begin to value myself, and my own self-esteem begins to grow, then I'm able to put into context of karma whatever were the childhood things that I've been through. And so according to drama, my karma, those parents, those relatives, I was surrounded by criticism or blame and whatever, and now detachment. And so when Baba says it's your new spiritual birth, it's a very, very powerful concept. And for many of us, when we first come to Baba, it is very dramatic. It literally is, you know, you've let go of so much and now it's a new life, a new beginning. And then we don't always pay attention to nurturing that feeling of a new birth, a new life, and old things again begin to pull, and old habits and patterns of thinking come up. But if I were to remember, this is who I am as a child of God, and maintain that awareness of being a child of God, my self-esteem would develop. And I wouldn't get into this whole thing of accepting blame or then blaming others. And you know, when within the Brahmin family, there's a lot of insecurity about roles, and we identify with a role. And I think that this sort of insecurity inside that makes me identify with a role in terms of service or role in externally, it comes from this, that there isn't that security deep down inside of being a child of God. And this is why when somebody said to Daddy, you know, what is the role that I have to play, her answer was, be a child of God. That is your role. And they were very shocked because they thought that he was going to give them a position, a designation, you know, something. And she just wasn't about to entertain that. Just be a child of God, and that is your role.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, if we sustain this awareness, then in this awareness, you're not attached to another role or identity that's dependent on those things, and you maintain that intoxication and joy and self-esteem, and service comes your way. Lots of doors open up.
I find it very interesting that we teach meditation and we teach others how to, that we are a peaceful soul, a loving soul and sweet soul, and we're very good at teaching that. And I often think for myself, and I ask myself, am I having Raja Yoga? Because I need to be in that consciousness of who I am originally, what Baba says that is the truth, my eternal truth. Otherwise I can't have Raja Yoga. And on the other hand, what would you say? I heard these words 2 days ago. Meditation is not working for me. And this may be somebody who's been a long time and who's having some difficulty. And like, you've given the answer now, because what would you say?
I would say to them, it's not just a question of fixed timings for meditation, but it's a question of building up a relationship with Baba and keeping Baba with yourself through the day. And then if you've got Baba with you, then definitely it's Baba that's doing the work, and it's not my meditation that's doing the work, but it's Baba that's doing the work. And I think that we get into a routine of meditation in which we're thinking the same thought again and again. And Baba's not teaching us mantra yoga. Baba's not saying stop thoughts. Baba's saying, man manabho, use your mind and turn it towards me, so that you're making that contact, you're making that connection. But say, for example, if through the day my mind is out there, and this one, I'm thinking about all of them, what's going to happen when I meditate? I'm not going to be able to focus on God. But if through the day I've used the techniques and tools that Baba's given me, practicing soul consciousness, seeing another as a soul, then when I sit down to meditate, it's going to be a very good connection, and I'm going to feel Baba's love reaching me. And so I think that we forget to use the tools that Baba's given through the day. And we think that, you know, I'm coming to class, I'm having Amrit Vela, but what am I doing the rest of the time between morning class and evening meditation? Where are my thoughts going? And this is where then, if my thoughts are going to the past, if my thoughts are going to people out there, there's no joy that I'm experiencing through meditation. And so yes, then meditation stops working for me. And I think that the reason why people start to drift, it's the main reason that you're not getting any experience through meditation. You're not experiencing that connection and the benefit of that meditation.
So Baba says, Man Manabhav is the mantra that disciplines the mind. Can you explain that further?
In the first instance, it's my mind that is learning to focus on God. And so when I say, now this is my time to be in meditation, firstly I'm using my mind, my conscious thoughts, to go inside, to be the soul, and then turning my mind to God. So I'm learning to discipline my mind. And I'm using my mind to make connection with God. And that's bringing me a result. It's bringing me the peace and the love. And then, yes, I'm feeling that connection. And so my buddhi yoga, the yoga, the connection has been made. And so then we use this term buddhi yoga. And God's power is cleansing and purifying my intellect also. First, the buddhi had the jnana, I'm a soul, and I have to learn to discipline my mind. And so I start disciplining, but then through that connection, that yoga, then Baba's able to start influencing my buddhi further and making it divine.
Thank you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, two other things that I have in mind is how do we apply a full stop, which is what Baba was saying in English. How do I do that? But also, does it mean, you see, there is a difference, there must be a difference between applying a full stop and repressing thoughts. So where is that difference, and what are the consequences of repressing thoughts? What is what?
One was past is past, and we've taken that up. But the other is where you happen to be sitting here. you say something, and instead of taking it just in soul consciousness with that positive attitude that your intention is good, my interpretation goes off into some other direction. She is saying this because da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so that's where I have to learn to put a full stop. And the more I know myself and the more I'm familiar with my own thinking patterns, the more quickly I can catch it. So this morning when Daddy came on the phone, and I'd been taking up the subject of Razi and Naraz and all of this, and so I don't know how much she heard, but she must have heard something. And she said, you were talking about avastha, stage, sthiti, your stage. And one of the first things is introversion. To learn to be introvert and not cutting off from people. You know, people sometimes think that introversion is that, but no. My attention inside on what's going on within. And so if I'm doing that, then I can see that my mind is beginning to run in a way that's not useful, in a direction that's going to just be a waste of energy. And so, full stop. To have that capacity, the buddhi is so powerful that I can put the brake on. Baba gives this example of how, you know, you see something and if your brakes aren't working as they should and the car stops even just a few seconds too late, huge trouble. And in this case, again, I don't stop my mind quickly, immediately. I've let a few thoughts come, the train's already gone. And it's very late then, and then of course your mind just goes off in another direction. And if you even stop it a few minutes later, you feel exhausted by then. You know, one of the reasons for tiredness is not the amount of work we do, but it's the amount of waste thoughts we have. And so that's what's draining. And so, you know, after a few minutes of waste thoughts, you feel your head heavy. And then you tell it, look, stop. At some point, I have to tell myself, stop. And if I don't, it's going to cause me trouble.
It's going to get worse.
It is. And that, the thing is about pattern. That pattern of behavior is going to get fixed. And so then again, next time, again, it doesn't matter what your intentions were, but as soon as I see you, I'll be suspicious and I'll start thinking intentions are not good. Even though your intentions may be totally clean, but this is what's coming through.
So would you say that we need, first of all, the yoga of the intellect so that we can strengthen the intellect, so that when we need to put that full stop, when my mind is going in another direction that I don't want it to go, then I can apply the full stop, because I'll be observing it.
This morning, Baba used an interesting expression. Baba said, especially at Amrit Vela, lock up your thoughts. So he used this English term, lock up. So Amrit Vela is a time when Baba's wanting to give me the blessings of power. That is a time to really take power from Baba, but I have to make the connection and lock up other thoughts and take that power. Then that power is going to help me through the day. There's one other thing about past and waste thoughts that it's a very practical thing that many people face at different times. And it's something that I've seen in Dadi, and it helps her enormously. I've been through an illness, and it was hard, but I've gone through it, and I'm out the other side. Now, something else happens, and generally, the way the human mind works is that I think, it's the same thing coming back. And again, a huge amount of time and energy lost, because now I'm thinking I'm having to go through the same procedure again, or
the fear.
And for Dadi, you know, if the doctor asks her, have you had this before? Never mind her own mind, but even if somebody actually asks her, have you been through this before? Have you had this before? And she won't remember. And then, you know, you need to have medical records. And so then Hansa will have to tell the doctor that this is the record and this is what happened and when it happened and whatever. But she won't hold that in her mind that this happened and so it's going to happen again. It happened and it's gone. She's forgotten. Whether it's a year ago or 5 years ago or this morning. She'll say, did I have pain this morning? Okay, well, I'm fine now. So she won't hold it in her mind. But I've seen it happen with many people. They are told that it's an illness. And yes, maybe it's a serious illness. But, and I'm talking about a Lokik person who I've been in contact with recently. They were told it was a serious illness. And they were absolutely determined to keep the mind very light, very easy. And so that last couple of months that they had, and literally it was after they were told, it was just 2 months after, they were able to benefit from that time that they had. And if having been told it's a short time you have now, if they'd allowed themselves to go down into a spiral of negativity and blame and waste thoughts, and it wouldn't have been very nice for them or their family. But as it was, they were able to keep their mind very positive. And so when you're saying past is past or no waste thoughts, it means really finish what is negative, finish what is waste, so that then you can use your time and energy constructively today. And it's a benefit to me and benefit for everyone around me also.
It really requires, I think, a lot of power to be able to do that, to really forget the past. And I was thinking when you were relating this experience, I was thinking of Joy, because I remember visiting Joy and she said that when her family came to see her, she would tell them, I only have this time because I have to do my meditation. And then for her, the main interest, the main focus of attention was that I have to have yoga with Baba every second as much as possible, because she was about to go. So that was, I mean, this was power that she would have accumulated over a long period of time, like Baba said.
As you speak, I'm remembering two other souls who were brilliant examples for this in London, and the London family know them all. It was Leslie. The last period of time, she knew she was going, but people who went to see her were taking comfort from her. She wasn't taking comfort from them, but she was giving them comfort. They were coming closer to Baba by visiting her. Yes. And also Naisha. Is May here?
Naisha.
Okay. So Again, Nesha was a wonderful example of that. You know, absolutely bright and light till the end.
Yeah. And organizing things until the end. As he knew that he was going, so everything has to be left in order, like Joy.
So the interesting thing for me is that we're not just talking about the dadis. You know, sometimes people say that, well, the dadis had 60 years, 70 years, 80 years now. But Leslie had maybe 20 years with Baba. Nesha about the same. Joy, 40 years with Baba. But these are people who we know and who were very much part of the world. They had jobs, they had families, they had, you know, the same as everybody here. Mm-hmm. And so it isn't that it's only the dadis, but it's people that we know.
Oh, is it to do with people's, with the soul's nature, gentlemen? Because, I mean, for others, we can spend many years trying, and we have some scars and behavior very strong.
But I think that these individuals, and I think it's, again, it's an inspiration for all of us, the work that they had done, the results weren't visible until that crisis came. And then the work that they had done became visible. And so I think the same holds true for all of us, that there is work that's been steadily going on. You know, there's been gyan, there's been yoga, there's been the blessings of service. So all of that has been gradually accumulating. Mm. And then maybe a crisis comes and it's revealed. Mm. And so I wouldn't say that we don't have the same.
I hope we don't have a crisis. So that we can continue to accumulate.
Well, I think that everybody is going to have crises. I think that before we become Paramati, there will be situations that we have to face.
So I think I'll ask you one last question and then perhaps we can open it up to see whether somebody else has got it. So something that came to mind also is that, have you ever had thoughts or images that come to your mind, either in dreams or in waking, of people or situations that you've not seen or you haven't experienced in this life? And could these be, could they relate to something in the future, or do they always relate to something in the past? Do we know? Can we know?
I don't know whether it's fortune or unfortune, but I don't remember my dreams. I really don't. I know that I've dreamt, and when I first wake up, there's a feeling, but what was it? I can't remember. Really can't. So, can't answer that question for you. And then, when it's meeting people or going to places, again, sometimes there's a feeling of familiarity, both with people and places. And so I think it's, you see, with the cycle, past and future are the same. And so it's the past, and yes, it's also the future, but it's the same, back to the future. So yes, I do get those feelings with people and places. A sense of belonging, a sense of familiarity, of knowing. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yes, when past, I don't know. I'll tell you one particular experience that I've had very, very strongly. When they played the old Murali songs, and not so much now, but just about the time in my teens, and this is before I properly started to meditate, and I would hear some of the old Murali songs, and it would be like it would carry me to a different world. And later, when I came into Gyan properly and connected with the Dadis, I asked Dadi Ratan Moini about some of those songs. I never got a chance to ask Dadi Janki for some reason, but I asked Dadi Ratan Moini, and she then said that those were the songs they used to play in the Yajna, and she described some of the scenes with Baba and those songs. And so, again, it's not credit or debit, but I have this very, very strong feeling of having been in the Yagya before, and the connection with the Dadis again. So I'm not claiming any advantage of that, because 1949, I lost contact with the Yagya. 1948, I must have lost contact with the Yagya. So from 1948 through until 1968, I lost 20 years. So I lost a long time. But it was music. It was the music that I'd recall, and it would evoke those feelings.
Do you really feel it was lost? It was a loss? No, really.
It was a chance to get an experience of the other side of the fence. And I think that also has been very beneficial, in the sense that if I'd come into Gyan instantly as a child, I would never have known the experience of the other side, and maybe not been able to relate to people with as much empathy as I was able to, because I'd seen the other side. So not totally lost, but yet, of course, missed those years with Baba.
I feel very strongly nowadays about some of the things that Baba says, which I never understood in the past, but this affirmation that Baba gives us so many affirmations every day, I think, in the Murali. But what he says, that the past was good and the present is better and the future will be even better.
Sometimes you can't remember that.
So sometimes I use that when a situation in the present doesn't seem very good or beneficial. And I remember that, and it just gives me a lot of strength.
Thanks. Good, thank you.
Any questions? Anyone would like to ask any questions about past is past, full stop, repressing, feeling, thoughts, memories? No, everyone is very contented. I think.
One second.
So that everyone can hear.
Om Shanti. Didi, you just said that we can put a full stop to the past. But what happens when somebody, the opposite person, keeps on reminding you, every couple of months keeps on reminding you, this is what you did to me, and this is because of this, you know, this is what I am now. What happens in that case? How can you let it go when you are being questioned all the time? What do you do in that situation?
Two things. If there is truly a transformation within me and they see it, then it helps them forget the past. My transformation today, an example, maybe it was my ego and I was insisting I was right and I wasn't, and something happened. And so if today they see me very willing to listen to their idea and open to that instead of the ego of I am right, then they see that transformation and it'll make them let go of that idea. And secondly, just using yoga power so that I'm clearing things from my mind, but also that yoga power impacts everybody around me, and so it's cleaning things for me, it's cleaning the atmosphere. But the main thing is they should see a visible transformation in me today.
Thank you. Anyone else? Another question?
Wait.
Just reinforcing something you already stated, but do you think meditation is very easy and we'll get it done in a couple of days, but it actually takes a long time and we have to spend some effort? No, I'm saying my own experience, you have to put a lot of effort into it to come to these simple stages. You know, we take it squeeze it for granted. It's an effort.
This Baba says in many, many muralis, you have to have attention, you have to have caution. How often have we heard Baba say that? Attention, caution, attention. So yes, and we don't always realize that meditation and my daily routine are connected. And so, yes, my timetable is okay, but what is the quality of my thinking and the quality of my words through the day? Both. Actions, okay, I think most of us are attentive to. But my words of criticism, my words of putting other people down, not only is it damaging for me, but it's damaging for the other person who's listening, and it's damaging the atmosphere. And so if I'm maintaining my own inner dignity and self-respect through soul consciousness, then I'm going to treat another with respect and dignity also. And that's going to help me in my meditation. Jenny Ben, the microphone is here, so somebody will have to.
Question which is really related to the current situations in the world today, that, you know, there are people who are in the war zone who are affected, the families, and we see little wars taking place in different places, and we've heard so many stories about different countries, you know, which is really our neighboring countries. What's happened, it's all in the internet, to their children or to their neighbors, to their brothers, sisters, siblings. So how, Jindiben, if I was in that situation around those people, I want to comfort them. How should I, what should I say to them? Because this lesson of past is past is very much, I see, for us Brahmins. But, you know, when the Laukik people who don't have even A of Gyan, for them it's very hard to forget such traumatic experiences and, you know, all the events and the situations. So could you tell me something from your experience? I'm sure you must have met many on your travels.
It's related especially to the Middle East and traveling in that region, and a lot of people having gone through many things there. And I don't tell them past is past. It's the last thing you say to them.
Say that it's more for the Brahmins, the past is past, the lesson.
It is absolutely. But sometimes in some situations you can tell Laukik people that, but not in that. And so I just tell them that at this moment, what is it that's going to help you? What is it that's going to help the people you love? Whether they've died or whether they're lost, you can't trace them. It's your connection with God. And especially in the Middle East, you can talk very openly about God. People don't mind. And so where it is that sort of situation, you can tell them, at this moment, it's no use thinking about that. It's going to cause you more grief. And your grief is going to impact those souls also, because your vibrations are reaching them. But if you stay connected with God and let yourself take God's love and peace, you can share that peace with them too. And especially when you make that connection of how, because of love, they want to help them, the way to help them is by sending those good vibrations through God's remembrance. Trisha shared an interesting experience in Casablanca about going to, I've forgotten where you'd gone, Sri Lanka or Philippines, and you, okay, you want to share that, and what was your awareness of going to a troubled area?
It was regarding the tsunami, and so I was, the day after the tsunami happened, I was sent on assignment with a group of people from the BBC to South India, to cover the aftermath of it. And the experience I was sharing, that I remember on the plane on the way there thinking, this is the first time in my life where I'm going to be in a situation where I'm going to be surrounded by a huge amount of trauma in terms of the environment around me and also the people around me. And I wasn't sure how I would react. Yes, there's this stock of spirituality in theory that I've built up, but this was the first time I was really going to put it into practice. And then I think my experience very much was that my job, effectively, was going up to people who had pretty much lost everything and asking them, how do you feel? So that's not something that I wanted to do, and it's not an easy thing. But essentially, the experience was very much that just taking Baba's power, Baba's support, and just giving that vibration to everyone around me or my environment, and then basically what I found was that people were just coming up to me and sharing their stories. And so I didn't have to go and sort of shove a microphone in front of people, but they felt that there was, I guess, there was this sort of vibration that they felt comfortable with, and they opened up for that reason. And for me, that was the one thing that really stuck with me in terms of what's my role as a Brahmin in these situations. It's not giving words or even physical support, but it's what's the vibration that I can emit in the environment around me that's going to contribute something positive.
Thank you.
That this thought came to mind, if we have another couple of minutes, is to invite Sister Denise to share an experience, because I remember some time ago seeing something, a video or something, and she was addressing an audience in an area where there had been some big catastrophe happening, and what she'd said was very good, but I don't remember what it was. So if you remember what you said at that time, it was really very powerful.
Philippines, I think.
So yeah. Helpful for people.
Yeah, this was the typhoon, Haiyan typhoon, and the coastal area, they were used to typhoons, but they didn't know about storm surge. So we had a storm surge, which means that the level of the sea raised 30 feet. And they were being held in an area lower than 30 feet, so that they all died, right? And they didn't understand the meaning of storm surge, because storm surge is otherwise known as tsunami. And so you know that a tsunami means the level raises substantially, but with the word storm surge, they didn't know that. So they lost, everything. And they said people were like inside a washing machine inside their houses, because there was this turbulence and there were dead people knocking against living people, and it was really pretty horrible. And anyway, what I told them was from a murli that Baba had said, and their question was why, you know. So I said, well, the reason is why these things happen. It's not that God is punishing you or that you deserve this or anything like that. But the reason is to make you strong and to make you experience. And I mentioned that on several occasions with a lot of feeling. And they could get it that, yeah, that is why this happened, and that they did become experienced and strong. And these kinds of disasters happen there quite often. And these kinds of things are coming a little bit closer, so, you know, can come here too. And all of this is that we need to be
strong, we need to be experienced, we need to be compassionate, and because the world is having these things going on.
It's really good to have all these experiences and different answers, because I suppose in a situation like that, each one individually would have their own way of responding and helping. So, is that the last question? We're going to close now.
There was earthquake in Mexico some years ago. Remember, Chintiben and Daddy went to Mexico, right? And I felt at that moment that, Daddy going there itself actually was that feeling of empathy and sympathy that she showed. That in itself, in a way, is something that really melted people's hearts. Right?
It was a time when she was in the USA and the earthquake happened, and she went to the airport and she didn't have a visa, but somehow they managed to sort that out. I don't know how. And then she was there trying to go to Mexico when nobody wanted to go to Mexico. And so everybody was absolutely stunned that she should want to go. And she told them, I have family there. And she meant the spiritual family. And so, yes, her going there was such a boost to their spirits. It really uplifted them all. What's happening now in Nepal, a huge amount of support going from the Brahma Kumaris and a lot of help from Jet Airways, from Air India, from another airline, I've forgotten another one, and then also Indian Railways. And so huge amount of stuff has already gone, and the railway even is taking it to the border, and then BKs are taking it across. So again, when you spiritual help, but also physical help, emotional help, all types of help will be needed more and more and more. But again, just completing this past is past. If I'm thinking about past things, I'm not open to Baba's touching to know what it is I need to do now. But finishing the past and then being linked with Baba, then in any situation I know what it is I have to do.
Sadhi keeps doing constantly.
Yeah.
That's why she forgets what happened this morning, what happened yesterday.
That's right.
Just now is what matters, what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And she's such a good mathematician. How much profit am I making?
Right.
Thank you so much, Jindy Lan.
Thank you, Maria. And there's Tuli. So please don't go away. A couple of minutes yoga and then Tuli.
Thank you for walking.